We're blessed to have something that the world doesn't understand.
That's right.
We're blessed to have something that separates light from darkness. We're blessed to have something that gives us security in Christ Jesus. Do you know what it is? It's the book, right? Well, what is the book? It's the Word of God. We have Scripture. And we need to, church, Christians of this day and age, right now, we need to be rightly dividing the Word of truth. We need to know this book inside now. I suggest everybody read your Bible at least one time a year. What I like to do, and the reason I say at least, what I try to do is I read from Genesis to the Revelation. I read the Revelation twice, and then I read back through backwards. Same books, just backwards. All right. The reason I do that, because I need to know it inside and out. Right? I need to know it upside down, right side out, inside out. Not only do I need to know that, because the way I read it, there's a reason I read it that way, because it reminds me of everything I just read. And it reassures itself, the Word of God reassures itself in my spirit. That way I'm not led around by false doctrine. I'm not led by the doctrines of man. In the Reformation Church, they had five solos, five things that were considered alone. Christ alone, right? Christ and Christ alone. We need to. I'm not going to go through all five of them. The one that we're going to look at today is Scripture alone. Amen. Amen. What do we need? Scripture. Why do we need it? Because Jesus is in it. He is the living Word. I do not need the doctrines of man. I don't need the ideals of men. You don't need the ideals of men. You don't need somebody to teach you. Do you understand that? Do you really get it? Now, there are preachers. God gives them. God gives evangelists. God gave apostles. Praise God for that. But you know, if you are born again, there's two things you must understand deeply. Is the Word of God does not contradict the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will not contradict the Word of God. So if it says it in the Word of God, period. Period. Don't be led around by thoughts of men. I was asked not long ago, I've been asked, why don't I follow famous pastors? Or why don't I listen to the well-published authors and the multi-millionaire permanent press speakers of this present time? And that's the way I look at them. Why don't I do that? They all say the same thing. They all sing the same songs. They all do the same things. Why don't you, Pastor Curtis, why don't you sing their song? Why don't you teach their teachings? You know, Pastor Curtis, my favorite TV pastor says this and that. My favorite song leader sings this song and that song. So why don't you just go along with their sayings and thoughts? Well, I stand on Scripture alone.
Amen.
Amen. I am not highly educated. I'll be the first to tell you that. I do not know where to put silent letters. They don't make noises. I don't use them. You know? So don't try to read what I write. I don't need those things. I need the Word of God and that alone. There are several scriptures we're going to look at today, but to start with, I'm going to start in Psalm 119. Amen? That psalm has a lot of meat in it, and it's the longest psalm, the teacher. And it says, before we get into there, Father, I love you, I praise you, I thank you for your Word. Lord, keep my mind settled on what you said, get my thoughts, my mouth, my lust, my desires, my pride, wipe them out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I claim it and I thank you for it. Lord, even now, Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, forever, how long?
Forever.
O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That ought to be enough to preach all day long, and I could preach all day long on that. But praise God, the word backs itself up over and over and over again. His word is settled in heaven. Doggone what people think. All right? Just doggone it. I don't care what another man thinks about what the Bible says. I don't care what other men with high educations or super TV shows or huge radio programs or their permanent press Lear jet garbage that they're flying around on. I don't care about that. I would rather be a simple, ignorant man that walks with Jesus Christ. When John and Peter were confronted by the smart guys of their days, he said, I can tell that you're uneducated men. Amen? Oh, but you've been with Jesus. That's all. When I die, that's where I won't put on my tombstone. If anybody's here and there's a tombstone for that guy, remember that. All right? He was an ignorant man, but I could tell he walked with Jesus. Amen? And so I pray that we would be that way. Psalm 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Move over to 97. O Lord, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Praise God. What do you need to meditate on all day long? Oprah Winfrey? All right, you need to listen to her. How about, what's that, Dr. Phil, right? Don't listen to him either. Do you love the law of God? That's a huge thought. Do you love it? Now, when you love something, what do you do with it? Spend time with it. If I love something, I'm gonna put my energy into that because I just want to be around it. Oh, the law of God. Oh, how I love the law of God. That's my thought all day long, my meditation all day long. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. Through his commandments, he's made me wiser than anyone else. For they are ever with me. The enemies are ever with us. The darkness is ever with us. Those who hate Jesus are ever with us. Those who trust on their own understanding, they're ever with us. But his commandments, the commandments of the Most High God, make me wiser than all the super educated people on the earth. Amen? Why? Because I meditate on his commandments, his word. I have more understanding than my teachers. Woo! Praise God! I'm smarter than the PhDs. Amen? Why? Not because I know where to put silent letters. Not because I know where to use those little commas and parentheses and all that other stuff that we have. I am smarter than them because I have the testimony. They're in my meditations day and night. Amen? You are more smarter than the most educated Bible theologians on the planet. Do you know that? Because you have the Spirit of the living God. Amen? You may not know all of the history of all the things that went on. Personally, I don't need to know a lot of the history because I have a living Word. And he's a God of the living, not a God of the dead. There's the gospel, the commandments, the Old Testament, the New Testament are for right now, today, for you. Amen? And do you understand, do you really believe that the Scripture and Scripture alone is all you need? I do. I do. I really do. I don't need to know what Spurgeon said. I love the writings. I got all of his sermons and books. I read his sermons. I got the sermons of the Reformation. I got their sermons. You know what they used? The Bible. Amen? I don't need to plagiarize what they thought. I have the living Word of God. And I meditate on His law. I meditate on His commandments. And because I have His commandments, and I meditate on His understanding, that makes me smarter than all of the teachers. Amen? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I have kept thy precepts. Amen? Do you believe that? How many folks think, well, I can't understand that. That's hard for me. Then you're not meditating on the right thing. Do you understand that? If it's too difficult for you, slow down and break it up into smaller bites and read it again. Right? If you don't understand, slow down, break it up into smaller bites, read it again. What happens when you bite off too much meat at one time? You're either going to choke on it or you spit it out and cut it up in smaller pieces. All right? And that might look gross on your plate. But it'll keep you from choking to death. Amen? So, when you're not understanding the Word of God, slow down. Meditate on it. The Word is true. It's right. And we're going to look at how the Bible tells us how to study the Word of God. And I tell you, it's not by Google. All right? It's not by John MacArthur. Study by John MacArthur's study Bible. I'm not saying that he isn't a smart man in his stuff. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you don't need that.
That's right.
You don't need that. You have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is smarter than John MacArthur. You have the written Word of God, the whole Bible right here, and you don't need to listen to me. Do you understand that? I am not the Holy Spirit. And you only listen to me and you only follow what I say, I will lead you astray. Every time. You know why? Because your focus is on somebody that's fallible. Don't focus on me. Focus on God. Focus on His Word. Focus on His way. You read it for yourself. I can't chew your meat for you. God has called me to be a pastor and to prepare a plate and set it before you. All right? That's all I can do. You need to bring it home. You need to cut it up. This is takeout. Amen? Even in a takeout store, you go to these restaurants, it's all takeout. You still walk in, you get a good smell, right? That smells so good. Amen? But still, you got to take that word and you got to put it in that plate and you got to bring it home. You got to do something with it. When you do, then you start to grow. Then you say, well, my brother Mike, he says a lot, well, Pastor so-and-so says this, and he even says Pastor so-and-so about me. And I always come back, what did I tell you? Don't listen to pastors, read your own Bible. Amen? Read your own Bible. And if you need help, come with me, I'll sit down beside you, we'll take it bite at a time. Listen, I do not know Greek, I don't know Latin, I don't know Hebrew. I don't even speak English. Alright? I talk American. Amen.
Southern America.
The real America, baby. And he says, I have more understanding, 100. I understand more than the ancients because I have kept thy precepts. I have stopped my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Now listen what he said. I have, say that word for me.
Refrained.
Okay, that just means I haven't went that way. All right? I may not be able to say the word, but I know what they mean. All right? I have refrained my feet from evil, from every evil way. Who does that? You do that. You do that. You do it. You refrain your feet. I can't refrain your feet. God's not going to refrain your feet. He gives you the way to refrain your feet, but only through Scripture do you know what to keep your feet on. Amen? And so I refrain my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Why do I keep away from evil thoughts? Why do I keep away from the evil that's in this word? Why do I refrain? Why am I cautious where I walk in this world? That I might keep the word of God. That I might understand it. Remember, you're meditating on His word all day. You're holding on to His commandments. You're holding on to His precepts. That I might keep my way away from evil. That I might keep His word holy. I have not departed from thy judgments. Oh, come on, church. Can you say that? I doubt it. Amen. I've got to do it. How often do I got to readjust my life? Every day. Sometimes 20, 30 times a day. Right? And I readjust it. When I know I'm doing something wrong, I adjust my life to His judgments. For thou hast taught me. Oh, praise God. Who taught me? Are you sure that John Piper, Hagee, Alistair Begg, Tony Evans, Joel Grogery, Jimmy Swagger, T.D. Jakes? Huh? Are they teaching you?
No.
Are those the ones that you're listening to? If you're only listening to those folks, if that's who you're listening to, if that's where you're getting your doctrine from, you're not getting it from the Word of God, you can be led astray.
Right.
Because they are all fallible men. They might have great teachings. I'm not saying that they don't. But if you only listen to what they say and you don't read the Word for yourself, you don't come back to the Scripture and examine it for yourself, you can be led straight to hell by teachers of doctrines. Even from me. That's why I always point to the Word of God. Don't listen to what I have to say. You listen to what God tells you through His Word. Amen. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Praise God. How are you going to hate the false way? By knowing the Word of God. By keeping the Word of God. By keeping Scripture and Scripture alone. Why? Because thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgment. Amen? How do I know what is a righteous judgment of God? Because some fancy pants preacher tells me so? Somebody flying around in a Lear jet tells me what's right and what's not right? Somebody in a $500 mohair suit and a fancy tie never knew a wrinkle? Is that where I get my doctrines from? Is that where anybody should get their doctrines from? You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be studying Scripture and Scripture alone. You need to be reading it from the Revelation to the Genesis and from the Genesis to the Revelation every year. Every day. What is your prayer regimen in the day? Truly, I'm praying that everyone who's sitting here reads their Bible. All right? I hope that you're doing that. I hope that it is that you're not just reading it like a newspaper, but you're eating it like a meal. Amen. You're chewing on it, you're meditating on it, you're keeping those thoughts and those precepts in your mind. Proverbs 23:25 says it this way: the fear of man brings a shame. All right, respecting men's ways above God's ways, you'll be shamed before the Lord. All right, that continues on. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Amen. I wrote that sideways and put that in the notes this morning. Amen. When I was praying and going over this, I said, "Well, what's going to keep me safe? Well, I need to trust God." What's going to make me ashamed? What's going to make me fall? Trusting man. Trusting somebody else besides the Holy Spirit. Trusting just because they have a fancy whatever. And Paul warns us, and he tells us in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, he tells us this, that the Spirit speaketh expressly. What do you think he means when he says that? The Spirit speaketh expressly? He says, for sure, right? That's expressly. This is exactly what's going to happen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, look at what Paul just warned Timothy, that in the latter times people are going to start listening. They'll be departing from the truth, departing from the faith. They're going to be listening to seducing spirits. People who are teaching doctrines outside of the Word of God. Right. How do I know that a doctrine's outside of the Word of God if I don't study the Word of God? Mm-hmm. You won't know, my brother.
It doesn't show the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Absolutely. So we need to have these false teachers, as he says in verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy. A lot of the modern teachers using the modern translations of the Word of God are not truly studying the Word of God. They're regurgitating something that the professor told them in college.
Amen.
All right? They're just re-saying it again. But they're not coming back to the fullness of Scripture. Right? And again, the Scripture, the Word, and the Word only, Scripture alone is what's going to keep you away from those false teachings. And it says that the ones who listen to that, they have their conscience seared with a hot iron. When you get caught up into following men and following doctrines that are outside of the Word of God, you get caught into that, your conscience becomes so burned that you can't even hear the truth. When the truth is plainly spoken, it's laid out, right? It's laid out, here's what the Bible says. And he says, well, I can't accept that because Dr. So-and-so said something different. I can't say that because Darby, he was one of those ancient ones. Darby started this thing, or Clarence Larkin started this thing, or you go back throughout history and you say, well, this man said this and that makes it true. When the Word of God specifically says that this and that, right? The Word of God, and the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Paul is giving a prophetical outlook on a strong warning about following outside doctrines, things that are outside the Word of God. And what I mean by outside is teaching where the Bible says one thing and the teachers say another. So how do you know what the Bible teaches? Anyone?
Study.
Amen. Read it. Study it. Open it. Open it every day. Study it every day. And think about this. The time that we watch the stupid box, the TV, every how many hours that is, every how many hours you spend in the radio, every how many hours you spend on Facebook or YouTube, all those hours, you look at all those hours. If you were to put those hours into studying the Word of God, go, who said that? Woo, man, you're right. If we would stop being sucked into the ways of this world and take all of that energy that we're wasting on Facebook, all of that energy you're wasting on Twitter, all of that time that you're wasting on YouTube, and I'm speaking to me too, all right? All of that time that I'm wasting thinking about anything else but God. If we would take that energy, that time, and we'd turn it into the Word of God. If we would stop being sucked into golf, to driving around really fast in circles. Hockey, all right? Football, baseball, all of those things. If we would stop being sucked into the things that are killing us and start listening to the thing that's giving us life. The Word of God brings life. I looked up those names I talked about earlier because I really don't watch them. I don't know much about them. I don't really know about the doctrines that they teach. I hear things, but I cannot tell you the last time I watched one of those super rich pastors on TV. I don't have time for it because I'd rather be sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know. I'd rather be in my Bible looking at what the Word of God says. Our understandings of what the times we're living in, our understandings about the world, our understandings about the truth must be based on biblical facts, the words that come from Scripture alone. Amen? They must be from the Bible. They cannot be from men. The Bible and the Bible alone. And not from a lot of doctors and professors of this present age. It is high time that the church go back to the Bible, that the believers stop being followers of men. Because if indeed these are the latter times, all of those manly doctrines are going to fall to the way. A lot of people's faith is going to fail because they trusted the words of men instead of the words of God. And we're going to see that it's going to happen. Jesus tells us it will happen. Paul, again, he wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Knowing that the time, okay, knowing the time, amen? Knowing what? The time. Y'all know what time it is? Hey, it's time to stop watching Howdy Doody. It's Howdy Doody time. Y'all probably too young to remember that. Some of you. Some of you ain't. You remember. I bet you had that secret code ring, didn't you? And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. What time is it? Time to wake up? Smell the coffee? All right, it's time to wake up, all right? Our salvation is nearer today than when you first believed. You're closer to the end than you are the beginning. Understand that's the time. The night, the time for sleeping, the time for being talked about and listening to false teachers is past. It's done. It was done in Paul's time. He said the time's far spent. It's time to cast off the works of darkness. How am I supposed to keep myself straight by meditating on His Word? Psalm 119. Again, how am I supposed to keep my way right by studying His Word? What's going to make me smarter than my teachers? The Word of God. Because if you're going to any kind of college, any kind of school right now, they tell you that you came out of a monkey. They tell you that you were an accident. They tell you that you're not male or female. You're some kind of it. No, you're not. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Why, how do I know that? Because the Word of God says so. God says that He scooped up dust and He breathed into it and we became a living soul. Amen? Again, y'all heard me say this. You're nothing but an animated dirt ball. That's all you are. You're an animated dirt ball. And what gives you the power to walk and to know right and wrong is the power of the Holy Spirit and the written Word of God. And they will never be contrary one to another. The Spirit of God will never tell you something that's not in the Bible, and the Bible will never tell you something that's not directed by the Spirit of God. And as you grow, deeper knowledge comes. The more you read it, the more you understand. The more you apply it, the safer you become. The more connected you are. The more sure you are of your salvation. The more I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, right? The more that I know Him, the closer I am to the very fruit. The closer I am to the very vine, the more I'm able to produce and the more the Father is pleased with me. That's what Jesus tells us, recorded by John, all right, in chapter 15. I have heard from church, after showing Scripture on a subject, what the Bible really says on any given subject. And we've heard it said, let me ask you this, how many have been talking Bible to somebody and they say that's how you interpret it?
Right.
Amen? Do you know that the Bible is not for private interpretation? It don't matter how you interpret it because it says what it says. All right? I don't need to know how you interpret it. All I have to do is read it. Believe it for what it says on the page. That's why it's very important to make sure that you're reading the correct Bible. All right? And you say, God's Word is always preserved and all that kind of stuff. Well, I understand that. But when you take words and passages and things out of the Word of God, rearrange them. Had a brother, I'll say his name, George. George, and he came and he was showing me a scripture out of Mark. And he said, look, they didn't even put the numbers. So it was like 27, 28, and it missed 29, 30, 31. Right? And I said, yeah, that's why you don't read that particular version of the Bible. They're not even hiding it. We don't even put it in our scripture. Or he said, but look, if you read down here, the real small print on the very corner of the page, they did put it. Well, who's going to read that? Right? Why did they move it from its proper place? Why did they change it? If it's changed, it's not the same. Amen? And I know a lot of people, they don't like the King James Bible. I feel sorry for them. It is perfect. I was going to say, far as I know. Further than what I know, it is perfect. Alright? It was written by men of God. It tells us in 2 Peter verses 1, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. But I'm going to break this up a little bit. And Peter speaking here, he said, and this voice came from heaven. And when we were on the holy mountain, all right, Peter's referring to a time in his life that he was personally witnessing a miraculous thing. Him and John and James were called up to the mount. We call it Mount Transfiguration. He was called up there, and there was Jesus' countenance was changed, and he started glowing with the Shekinah glory of God. His real identity started coming out. And with him, there was Moses and Elijah. Right? Y'all remember the account? It's in Matthew chapter 17. And Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. And Peter said, hey, we ought to build us three tabernacles. Woo-hoo! No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't listen to the three tabernacles. There's one tabernacle you need to listen to. In fact, a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Not that the law is not important. Not that Elijah and the prophets are not important. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen? And how do you know that? The Word of God. Scripture. Scripture tells you that. I'm not trying to take anything from the law or anything from the prophets. I'm not trying to diminish them in any way. But we have the indwelling Spirit of God. Not that I don't need the law, not that I don't need the prophets, but the one I need to follow is Jesus the Christ. He's the fulfillment of the law, and every prophecy was written about him. Amen? So I need to follow him. Yes, the Old Testament. Praise God for the keeper of the word. Praise God for that. Praise God that they kept it, and God kept it pure. All right, this is a little bit on the worldly side. But this past Christmas, my wife got me a book. And I really don't read books outside of the Bible too much. But she got me the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I was reading through the Dead Sea Scrolls. There, it's a great reading, but it's not scripture. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, they have a complete or nearly complete translation or copy of the book of Isaiah. And to the King James Bible and from the Dead Sea Scrolls, it is absolutely perfect, except for the spelling of two or three names. Now, if you take that same Dead Sea Scroll and you hold it up to a different translation of the Bible, guess what? It's perverted. It is changed. It's not the exact same words, the exact same verbiage. That ought to make you think. If that was the Dead Sea Scrolls were in the first century, the folks who saw that, they could have very well saw Jesus Christ risen from the dead, right? Those folks. And when they wrote it, they wrote it down, they kept it, they preserved it for us. It is line upon line, precept upon precept, perfect. Amen? When you compare it to the King James, when you compare it to other things, it's not. Oh, but it says the same thing. No, it doesn't. If it's not the same, it's not the same. Okay. Anyhow, I'll jump off that bucket. Looking at what he said, this is my beloved son. Now, although the law and the prophets are very, I think I just said that, we have someone better, Jesus the Christ. We need to hear him. We also, verse 19 says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, in my words here, and it's not the teachers and the preachers and the lawgivers. All right? We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's not, it doesn't come from the Pharisees. It doesn't come from me. Amen? It doesn't come from MacArthur. It doesn't come from Hagee or any of those other guys. It doesn't come from Piper. You know who it comes from? Jesus the Christ. It comes from the very Word of God. It comes from the Bible. That's our sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do dwell, and that you take heed. All right? Take heed to the written word of God, as unto a light that shineth into a dark place, until day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. Read and study the word of God until it becomes illuminated to you. Until the day star rises in your hearts, until you come to understand it. See, the first 100 times I read the Bible, I didn't get it. And there's many places in the Bible I read, I don't get it. But you know what? I'm going to keep reading it. I'm going to keep applying it. I'm going to keep studying it. I'm going to keep meditating on it until the day star rises in my heart. Amen? I haven't made it. That's why you don't listen to me. You listen to the Word of God. Many of you may be miles ahead of me in Scripture and understanding. Right? Amen? You might be there. But don't get all puffed up about it. Because I guarantee you, no matter how much you think you know, you don't know it all. Right. Amen? Right. You don't know it all. You're not there.
Amen.
Right? So you keep reading. You keep understanding. Until it shines into this dark place. Into my dark heart. Into my dark consciousness. I'll read it. I'll meditate on it. I'll think about it until that day star illuminates it and I get it. And you know what? When I think I get it, guess what I need to do? Readjust. Amen? I need to readjust my life to the knowledge that has been exposed to me through the Word of God. Through the Scripture and the Scripture alone. I readjust my life to that. And you know what? I'll read it next month and it'll mean something different to me. You know what that means I need to do? Readjust my life to what the Scripture and Scripture alone says. Because when I'm this high and my daddy tells me something and I understand it, and then I grow up a little bit, he says, well, I need to explain this to you again in a deeper way. Mm-hmm. And then I get it, and then he says, I need to explain it to you in another deeper way. And I'm going to dig this out, and I'm going to read you it, and I'm going to put it back in you. And you're going to have to understand it my way for the amount of knowledge you have at the time. I got choked on my own spit. I did not need the Heimlich maneuver. Praise God. I do not need to listen to Alexander. I don't need to listen to MacArthur or to Stanley or to T.D. Jakes. I have the Holy Spirit of God to teach me. I have the Holy Spirit of God and I have His Word. And that is enough. Again, in verse 20 of the same place, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. How much of the Scripture for private interpretation? None. So it does not matter what you think about it if it doesn't line up with what it says. Right? My opinion does not matter. When God created everything, did He say, hey, Curtis, what do you think? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It matters what it says. You know that at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow? Every tongue's going to confess, right? And you know something even greater than that? God says, I honor my word above my name. Think of chew on that for a little while. The written word of God is more valuable than the name of God. God honors His written word. What He said is more important than what you think He is. Because when we have a name about somebody, we only name them because we think we know something about them. Amen? All I need to know about Him is He is Emmanuel. He is God with me. It is with us. But I want to keep it personal because I need adjusting. All right? I need to get better. I need to get more into this. I need to study it more. I need to stop thinking that it has any private interpretation. Why? Because the Bible says, well, isn't that really where it needs to come always back to? The Bible says it is of no private interpretation. It says what it says, and it means what it means. Again, back in Psalm 19, verse 7, and I'm going to read through there for a while. The law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen from that? Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the law are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and right altogether. Now, let's back that up a little bit. And this is from verse 7 through verse 9. The law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
And if you come to the understanding of the perfect law of God, what's it going to do? Convert you. Right? That's what the Bible says. The testimony of the Lord is sure. So when God says it, what's going to happen? Whatever He said. Amen. Whatever He said. And it's what the Lord said, right? Not what some man tells you what the Lord said. It's what the Bible said. All right? The testimony of the Lord is sure. And what does that sureness, what does that confidence do? It makes the wise simple. Or actually, let me make sure I read that right, because in my mind it says it wrong. And I love that because your mind can fool you. Do you know that? Do you know that you can think something and it not be true? Do you know that? How many here has been fooled by their own thoughts? Amen? Oh, I thought I was in love. No, you weren't. You may have been. I don't know. Not everybody. But how many say, oh, I love this so much. Until you got with it. And then it wasn't love at all. Anyhow, that was verse 7 there. So I need, because I wrote it down. And guess what? I can write things incorrectly. Right? All those red letters you see right there, that's Scripture. All the few black letters right there, that's my thoughts. That's why there's always a lot more red on my paper than there is black. All right, so The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. All right, that's what it said. The statutes of the law of the Lord are right. So whose way is right? The Lord's. Name your favorite pastor. If he does not line up with this word, what does that make him? Wrong.
Right.
Simple. What if you have a thought that does not line up with this word? What does that make you?
Wrong.
What do you need to do? Adjust. Amen. Just stop your stinking thinking. Get back to the Word of God. Amen. All right. The statutes of the Lord are right. And when you get this in your mind, rejoicing in the heart, it produces a happiness. Praise God, I was wrong. Amen. Praise God, what I thought wasn't right. Even though I thought it was right, I thought it was right. Oh, I thought that it was right. Right? I thought that these things were correct. But when I came to the Word of God and I found out what truth is, I realized I was wrong. And oh, what a joy overcame my heart. That I was wrong, that He is right. Amen? So it really doesn't matter what teachers think if it doesn't line up with God's Word. Amen? Now rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure. It's pure. The way that God tells us to live, it is absolutely pristine. See, we have a hard time standing what pure means. Because in this world, there is nothing pure. The grass we see is not pure. The air we breathe is not pure. The food we eat is not pure. Even if there was no GMOs or none of that kind of stuff, we, because of sin, nothing is pure anymore except for the commandments of God. His holy word is pure. You want pure, clean water? Go back to the Word of God. Stop listening to the teachers. Amen? Stop listening to the professors. Stop listening to the men that tell you their ideals. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you have the one who will guide you into all truth. And He will remind you the things that Jesus did. He will change your thinking from impure to pure. He will show you the commandments of God are true and right and just. Even if you don't agree with them. I love that. God doesn't need you to agree with Him. It's great if you do, but you're disagreeing with what the Bible says isn't going to change the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those doctors, those pastors, those radio multi-millionaire permanent press. People who need people are the most miserable people because you don't need
sinners.
Sinners, amen. Amen. Enlightening, they're pure. The law of the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We can't even see without the pure commandments of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and right altogether. Now the question is do you believe that? Now whether you believe it or not won't change it. You know what it will change? You. Amen. This word, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change this. When I really believe this, you know who it changes? Me. It converts the sinner to a righteous man. It converts the condemned to the saved. It changes the heart and the soul and the conscience of man from this corruption to an incorruption. And it does it step by step. There are different levels of belief. There are different levels of where people are at. But I guarantee you, I don't care how high and mighty and righteous or how reverent, as the guy said today, you think you are. Well, first of all, we'll come back to that. There is only one place in the Bible where it calls anyone reverent.
That's right.
Only one place. You know who he's talking about?
God.
Jesus. God. That's who's reverent. Any man who calls himself reverent, anathema.
That's
right.
All right?
Amen.
That needs to be understood. No man is right, reverenced before God. Again, you can find this throughout Scripture all over. What he says, to know Scripture, Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10 says this. Whom shall he teach knowledge? All right, who is God going to teach knowledge? And whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn away from the breast. All right, now catch this. All right, grab a hold of this real quick. God wants to bring you into a deeper understanding of the knowledge of the Most High God. His desire is to do that. But you know what you got to do? You got to stop just living off of milk. You got to stop listening because this person said it or that person said it. You need to get in and get into the meat of your word yourself. You get into it. You read it. You study it. And when you think you can't, do it anyhow. You know what? I didn't think that I could vinyl weld. Many of y'all don't know what that is. Okay, vinyl weld is something that they use in hospitals and stuff like that. It's called Medintech. I didn't think that I could do flash coving. All right, this is where you take it and you run it up and you cut the butterfly cuts and you get it around. It's just floor insulation terms. I didn't think I could do it until I tried it, until I screwed up a few of them, until I did it and did it and did it until I got it right. I didn't think that I could live holy. I really didn't think it because I was told you cannot be holy. The Bible says that you can. Man says that you can't. The Bible says, be ye holy. Why? Because I'm holy. Now, am I as holy as God? No. Not even close. But you know what? I'm more holy than what I used to be. I am more righteous than what I used to be. I'm more pure than what I used to be. You know why? Because I believe the commandments of God. I apply the precepts of God. I study the Word of God for what the Word of God says. And again, in Isaiah, we're there, Isaiah 28. Because I want to make sure I say these things right, because I found myself twice in my own notes here saying it incorrectly. And I don't want to say things incorrectly or give you the wrong understanding of something. Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Well, actually, I guess we got to start in verse 8 because he's talking about the false teachers of the time, all right? Because they're drunk in their own attitudes. They're drunk and their vision is they have error in their vision and they stumble in judgment. Verse 8 says, For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. Oh, that's where I want to eat. Right? Do you? All right, he's saying that the teachers in that time, the teachers are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn off the breast. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. And then he says it again, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. Why do you think he keeps saying the same thing over and over again? Because it's important. Right? I read it, and I read it again. I study it, and I study it again. I learn the precept, I practice the precept again, and again, and again, and again. All right? For line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherein ye shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was upon them, precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken in a snare and snared and taken. Those who are not teaching the Word of God for what the Word of God says, it's going to come as a snare to them. And who are not going to be caught by that snare? The ones who quit drinking their milk. All right? It's time to, he says, remove you from the breast. You can almost hear the suction sound. You know? Pull them off that breast. Stop nursing from other men's teaching. Stop getting your food from there. Go back to the Word of God. Here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Come on, church. We ain't that ignorant. Really? You should not be so consumed because this guy has all of this garbage. And what I mean by garbage is piled high and deep, otherwise known as a PhD. Now, don't get me wrong. God used intelligent people. Paul, right? He had all of the knowledge that all of the biblical, in fact, Gamaliel, he studied under him. He was the greatest teacher of his day. You know what? Paul didn't get wise until he got to the desert alone for 3 years. And he took what he knew and he studied it through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the illuminating of the Spirit of God. And he came out of the desert changed from darkness to light. His religion killed him. But the truth of God made him alive. His religion choked him. But when he came back, he said, line upon line, Old Testament, New Testament, and they blend together perfectly.
Amen.
And that brought him life. And it brought him freedom. And we have, and now we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And what I was saying, thank you, Lord, for this. There were, as far as I know, and I'm not real smart, okay, so y'all can correct me on this. The only highly educated people in the New Testament, all right, Paul, right? Luke, he was a doctor, he had to be smart. I think Matthew, he was a tax collector, all right? Out of that, that's it. The rest of them were fishermen, right? Now, they knew their Bible. They went to Torah school, right? And they learned the basics from the Torah. They learned, they went to first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, right? They did those things. But they really didn't get smart until they got with God. They didn't really get intelligent. And it wasn't from the Pharisees. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. Do you know that Jesus, when he talked to the highly educated people, what he used? Scripture. Amen. He used the Bible. Now, Jesus had all the authority to say, I say this. But you know what he always said? The Scripture says this. He never said, trust my words. Well, actually, yeah, he said, my words are truth. All right, so he did say, trust my words. But his words were always based on the Word of God. His witness was a threefold witness. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was that core that could not be broken. It was the fullness of the Spirit of God dwelling in Christ that brought us those truths. 2 Timothy, again, 3, that was in 1 Timothy first time. 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul reminds Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of him whom thou hast learned. All right, now, he's saying continue in the things that the Pharisees taught you. Is that what he said? No. Continue in the things that I taught you. No, he didn't even say that. He said, the things that you have learned, knowing him, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy, what? Scriptures. The Holy Spirit. Where did Paul get all the stuff from? The Scriptures, God. Where did Paul tell Timothy to go? To the Scriptures. Hold the Holy Scriptures. Don't listen to men talking to you a lot. Listen to what the Bible says. My biggest thing as a pastor is to drive you to the Word of God. That's what I'm supposed to do, is drive you to this book. That's why you don't hear me quoting a lot of different men. Because I really don't care what different men say. It's all about the Bible. It's all about Scripture. I'll finish that reading there. And that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Hey, you, I can't be perfect. Oh, yes, you can. I can't. I'm not saying that you can be sinless, but I'm saying that you can be perfect in the eyes of God. The Bible says you can. You know how you do it? Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Scriptures. Eat it, drink it, live it day by day.
tune to what the Spirit says. Be in tune to the righteousness and the goodness of the Lord, the sweetness of His Word. Thoroughly furnished, all right? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wow. You can do it. Amen? You can do it. Through the power of Christ, through knowing His Word, you can be perfect. You can be holy. You can be just. You can be right with God. Through His blood, through the Son, and by the Word. This, amen. This is what's going to make the church of this decade that we're living in, and the times that we're living in, this is what's going to make us different than all other people, is we have a foundation that cannot be moved. We have a surety in the whole Word of God. Yeah, we got Moses, we got the law, we got Elijah, we got the prophets, but even greater than that, we have Jesus. Hear ye Him. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Paracletus, the only Greek I'll use today. And the only reason I know that, because somebody smart taught it to me. All right. I'm going to send one that's just like me. I'm going to send the third part of the Trinity. And He's going to live in you. And He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you all things. And how does He show it to you? Well, through the regular things in life, no doubt. But He concretes it through His Word. Through this Bible right here. Don't listen to men. Don't listen to me. Amen? Really? And y'all are saying, what do you mean don't listen to you? You're the pastor. You're going to make the church grow small. I can't make you grow big or small. I'm not building this church. Jesus is, right? And if you don't like what I said, you ain't got to. You know? If you find fault in what I said, show it to me in Scripture. All right? Show it to me in Scripture. Because I can learn. Right? I have not made it. I'm not there yet. I can be taught every day something. But you better be teaching me out of the Word of God. And not part Scripture, all Scripture. Amen? Amen. Don't stop it. God so loved the world. Amen. Don't stop there. Go on to 19. Alright? Go on to 2021. Finish the statement. Anyhow, I love you. That's all I got to say about that. So, yeah, it's funny. Quick as the Spirit finishes it with you, guess what? You're done. Amen. You got a song you want to sing, brother?
Christ alone, 506.
506, Christ alone.
Christ alone, Christ alone.
within the sound of my voice, Lord, through the waves, the airwaves, where they might hear this teaching. Father, I pray that your word would stand true. Yes. Lord, that every man be a liar, but your word is truth. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. I pray that you would seal it in our hearts and in our minds, that we would not be led astray by doctrines of devils and teachings of men.
Amen.
We thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.